This week's topics: affordable housing and vacation rental homes. 800-838-3760 to participate by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's lay out the affordable housing issue first. There's a chronic shortage in many communities of housing that is both up to a certain level of quality and cleanliness and affordable to people who do not make much money. There's enough concern about the issue in Oregon that the governor wants $100 million set aside by the current legislature to build up to 4,000 new housing units over the next several years. The Oregon legislature is also taking a serious look at a bill on what's called inclusionary zoning, requiring developers to set aside a percentage of new housing construction for affordable units. Developers, as you might expect, are not fond of the idea. California is also considering bills to put more money out there for affordable housing. Bear in mind, it's not all about building houses. The federal Section 8 program provides vouchers to cover some of the cost of rent for low-income families. So make yourself the boss of housing for today's Vents Day. How would you make sure more houses are available for people who don't make much? Would you make sure lots and lots of new houses get built? If so, by whom and where? If you'd rather concentrate on existing dwellings, how get people into them? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on providing affordable housing in today's market. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Second topic deals with the Airbnbs and VRBOs of the world. We'll come back and talk about those and take your phone calls on this Vents Day when we come back to the Exchange in a minute five. How do we provide more housing units, or how do we provide more money to get people into existing housing? Your questions and comments, sir, your comments rather, really welcome there. The second topic is also about housing, but in a very different sense. Again, it's about Airbnb and similar programs that set homeowners up as rental agents, renting out part or all of their house to people traveling through town. It's part of the sharing economy, like the pseudo-taxi services like Uber. Hotel and motel owners generally hate the vacation rental system because it cuts into their business. Local governments have their issues because they lose out on the lodging taxes from people at the hotels and motels. Then there are some other regulatory concerns. So what do you think? If it's your house, should you be able to rent it? Does that opinion change when the people next door are the ones doing the renting and they keep renting their house out to people you don't know over and over and over? How should the vacation rentals be regulated if they're not already regulated in your town? And what are we missing in potentially connecting these two topics, affordable housing and vacation rentals by owner? Let's get your thoughts on the Jefferson Exchange on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Wolfgang, normally in Sunny Valley, today he writes from Overcast Valley, sent a message in. He says, we've done quite a few VRBOs, vacation rental by owner, visited and stayed somewhere in places where we would not otherwise have gone, and for a length of stay and with a number of people we could not have done had it been a hotel or motel. I think that for any hospitality operator to try and fight or control that is extremely myopic. People who do VRBOs would never come and spend a dime at the location where they're going if they had to rent at $60 to $130 a night. They would never come back. They would not see and pay for any attraction, and so on. On the local government side, any push to regulate vacation rentals simply betrays the fact how much they are in service to greed, that of their good old boy puppeteers and their own for more rules, more fees, more totally unproductive red tape. Leave VRBOs alone, concludes Wolfgang in Sunny Valley. Thank you for that, Wolfgang. Your comments are welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange. Vacation rental homes, one topic. Affordable housing for all, the other topic. How do we provide enough affordable housing so that people who don't make a lot of money can get into it? There was a recent article in The Oregonian with some maps that were just shocking, and it showed that if you belong to either of two ethnic groups, African-Americans or Latinos in Portland, and of course the Caucasian population was in there too, 30% of your income can allow you to rent WAT or buy WAT in the Portland area, and in the city of Portland specifically, and where there was lots of parts of the city available for rental at that rate, 30% of the income for that ethnic group available for rental or ownership for white people in the city of Portland. It was a very small island for Latinos for both rental or ownership, and there was nothing in the city of Portland that was affordable at that level of income. to African Americans, which was just a shocking report there. But other reports looking at what it is that keeps people out of housing. And it's not just in Oregon, it's in California as well. Other states dealing with this, both legislatures up and running, doing some moves to try to address the housing situation. What do you think? How do we go about either building more affordable housing or making existing housing more affordable? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on that or vacation rentals. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis and Eugene, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, see, I have rentals, and I also rent vacation homes, so I kind of wanted to comment on both things.
Okay, sure.
First of all, the rentals that I have, my wife and I, the problem with having affordable housing that I see is that maintenance of a house is getting to be really, really expensive. And most, if you have a renter that stays for 3 or 4 years, that's good. Then you kind of break even. You can make enough money to keep up the house, pay taxes and that sort of thing.
You get a respite between the renters, and so the wear and tear is a little less.
Yeah. And when you have renters coming in and out all the time, you just don't make any money. And we own our property. We actually own it. And when you actually sit down at the end of the year and figure it out, you're not making any money. I mean, it's not really worth the hassle. And so and we're 70 years old. We're actually thinking about just selling them because there's no money in it in a lot of ways.
Do you do the work yourself when you have to do some maintenance work and upkeep and, you know, minor carpentry, stuff like
well,
that?
Well, when you're my age, you don't do much. You have to hire stuff.
That's why I asked, because you mentioned the age there. So, yeah, that was where I was going.
And now, rentals, vacation rentals. Every year for quite a few years, my children lived in Southern California, and so we rent a house over on the coast or over out of Bend. My sons both are avid golfers, and so they come and they golf, and we rent a big house, and we can rent like a 5-bedroom house, a really nice place in Bandon for, say, $900 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stayed at the Bandon, at their resort there for a week.
Bandon Dunes or something?
Yeah, it would cost, for our family, it would cost about $5,000.
Versus 900. Mm-hmm.
Over, compared to 900. And you don't have anywhere as much. I mean, it's really nice to have a house. And this guy that we rent from, he has several houses on the coast that he owns them all, and that's what he does. Plus, he's a river guide and different things. But I think it's wonderful. And when we go over to Bend, to Sun River, we stay there. We rent a big house there. It's a lot more reasonable than it would be, you know, to stay in a resort there.
Yeah. In both those cases, though, because I was thinking about Sun River, too, in the context of Bandon, I mean, they're both places where the homes are not permanent residences for anybody. So they're not really in neighborhoods where you have year-round people, right?
Oh, where we stay, they're in neighborhoods.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they're in just regular neighborhoods. They're on, you know, we don't stay right in the resort at Sun River. We stay in outside of Sun River's there, but, you know.
Yeah. So it certainly makes sense to the people who are doing who are looking for a place to stay.
Pardon?
It certainly makes sense to the people financially who are looking for a place to stay.
Yeah, and it's just so much more nicer than staying in a resort because you have a lot of privacy. And I've never heard any neighbors complaining or anything, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. We're there for a week, so we don't.
All right.
But anyway, that's what I like the idea of being able to rent a house from a private person because usually it's much more reasonable and it's more well taken care of. And also, the problem with renting and low income, keeping your house rent low, is that it's getting so costly to keep up a place anymore that it's hard to have low rent.
Yeah, not much of a margin if you're paying a pretty stiff mortgage, which in a lot of cases people are. Dennis, thanks for the thoughts. Always good to hear from you. This is Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts welcome on housing. Two aspects of housing. Number one, how do we make enough affordable housing to make sure that people in need with lower incomes can actually afford decent places to live? The other aspect is vacation rental homes and what you make of the boom in the market, the Airbnb and VRBO, vacation rental by owner market. Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The Record Searchlight put an editorial out last week in Reading, celebrating the fact that that the Reading Housing Authority is reopening its waiting list for rental assistant housing vouchers for the first time in about 18 months. Also looking at other situations just within and around the city of Reading with the need for more affordable housing there. The Record Searchlight's editorial says what's needed is a concerted effort by elected officials to pursue development projects. Assembly Democrats in Sacramento are sponsoring four bills that could replace more than $1 billion annually that disappeared from affordable housing support 4 years ago when Governor Jerry Brown eliminated redevelopment agencies and the money they used to contribute to local affordable housing markets. The Record Searchlight goes on, not only should the city of Reading support such efforts, officials should actively pursue affordable housing opportunities and position the city to apply for each and every dime of funding that might become available from federal, state, and other funding sources. While they're at it, those folks might want to take a close look at how determined politicians and homeless advocates in Salt Lake City found a way to help a good portion of their low-income residents into housing that is free of a lot of the strings and regulations that mire many of them in life on the streets. As we've said repeatedly, says the Record Searchlight, local politicians and community leaders need to get over the notion that providing programs to help people off the streets will turn Reading into a homeless magnet. There are many cities across the state and offer more temperate climates and better job opportunities. The Good News Rescue Mission can only help so many people. It depends entirely on donations from its supporters. And though the city should work with the missions and support its good works, it's time for politicians to stop relying on a faith-based service to tackle a citywide low-income housing shortage and look for innovative ways to house our population. That's good for people. It's also good for business, so says the Record Searchlight in an editorial from May 27th. What do you think? What does it take to provide affordable housing in our communities? And what are some of the issues that prevent housing from being affordable? When you look at some of the communities in which we live and the fact that the mortgage costs are so high now, Ashland in particular, it's really hard to find affordable housing in a place like Ashland, which usually runs right up there with Bend and Lake Oswego among the most expensive places in Oregon to buy or rent real estate. How do we go about providing enough housing so that people who don't make that much money, for example, the people who run the tourism businesses in places like Bend and Ashland, can afford to live in the towns in which they work? What is the incumbent responsibility here upon government, upon society, upon individuals to take care of affordable housing? 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Stan in Ashland sent in an email about affordable housing. He says, unaffordable housing is a symptom of private takings of common wealth. As Peter Barnes notes in Capitalism 3.0, and this is all a quote, suppose you buy a house for $300,000 and without improving it, sell it a few years later for $400,000. You pay off the mortgage and walk away with a pile of cash. Your private wealth increases. But think about what causes the house to rise in value. It wasn't anything you did. Rather, it was the fact that your neighborhood became more popular. That, in turn, resulted from population shifts, a new highway perhaps, an improved school, or the beautification efforts of neighbors. In other words, your increased wealth is a capture of socially created value. It shows up as private wealth, but really is a gift of society. This is Peter Barnes writing in Capitalism 3.0, as quoted by Stan in Ashland, who concludes, till the cause, private takings, is addressed, the symptom will remain, the symptom being unaffordable housing. So how do we deal with unaffordable housing? Is this in large part a NIMBY issue? You saw what happened a couple of years ago when Medford talked about constructing new low-cost housing on the East Spring Street part of town near Frohnmayer Park, and there was quite a sharp reaction to that. What is the reaction if two doors down from you somebody wants to start building smaller, more affordable housing units? Are you okay with that? Does it trouble you on some level? And for that matter, we can go beyond just talking about the housing itself. Let's talk about things like the minimum wage and maybe the fact that if the wages were higher, we'd be having less discussions, fewer discussions about affordable housing. Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. John in Veneta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Yeah, those things you just said, you're speaking of being troubled. It troubles me much to see the way our country is being divided up, you know, rich and poor, basically. I'm old enough to have seen all this evolve to the point. But what I really wanted to get to, because a lot of this, I'm not sure if I understand what you're looking for input, but I've been a contractor and a builder for many, many years, and I've done maintenance, you know, property maintenance on rentals. And especially when you get below, like, a true middle-class type of a, at least here in our area where we live in Oregon, type of a dwelling, what I've seen is just absolute abuse of property. They think they're renting it, they can destroy it. And anyway, I was listening to what Dennis was saying, I couldn't agree more. It's getting harder and more expensive to maintain a dwelling, a property, and a lot of restrictions and stuff that come into play. Not the least of which, if somebody, you know, snivels, they might be able to just stay there and the government, you know, polices that it will happen that way. And, I mean, there's reasons for all this, I understand, but except for the abuse and just the wanton destruction of private property. You know, you rent it, you're supposed to be a caretaker, not an idiot. But anyway, right. That's the deal. And the whole time I'm saying this, it's not like I'm against people in dire straits. I absolutely understand what that is, and it really bothers me what I see happening in our country.
All right, the change in the big gap between rich and poor, that is a big one that figures largely in this discussion. When you're talking about homes that are just opulent and large and cost a lot of money, and then trying to find enough space for people to be able to afford decent four walls and a roof. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on affordable housing, how we go about providing affordable housing in this country, and the other topic, also housing, but this time, in this case, vacation rental homes, and what you think about the trend in vacation rental by owner, VRBO, Airbnb, which has a new office in Portland, which is interesting when you think about it, because Portland has struggled with part of the sharing economy and has taken action against Uber setting up shop in the city of Portland. But at the same time, Portland is one of the home offices to the Airbnb operation. So making off good on one aspect of the sharing economy and stumbling over another part of it. What are your thoughts? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. There's an article in the LA Times, or rather an editorial from the LA Times from April 30th, about how communities are dealing with the vacation rental situation. And this one reads, arguing that local governments don't have the resources to stop illegal short-term rentals, proposals in the California legislature and a handful of cities around the state would require Airbnb and its rivals to become de facto code enforcers. There's a role for room-sharing services to play in helping cities manage the problems posed by short-term rentals, but that's not it. The LA Times writes, a good example is what's happening in Santa Monica. The city's zoning ordinance bars short-term rentals in residential areas, but the city isn't enforcing the widely flouted ban. Instead, it has tentatively approved a new ordinance that would allow a dwelling to be rented out only when the primary resident obtains a license and remains on the premises while the renter is there. That's one way to deter landlords from depriving the city of much-needed permanent housing by converting apartments into unregulated hotels. Where the proposal goes off the rails, though, is in requiring the room-sharing companies to regularly report to city officials who's listing properties at what addresses, along with the number of days each property has been rented out and the price paid. That would set a dangerous precedent for forcing private companies to monitor the behavior of their customers on behalf of the government. If it's good for Airbnb, questions the LA Times, why not require automakers to have their cars generate reports for the police whenever they're driven faster than 70 miles an hour in California, the highest possible legal speed, or require contractors to alert the city when they're asked to build an addition that's too large? The legislature is considering a bill that would go even further, mandating that online rental platforms bar listings of properties in areas where it's illegal. even if the service has found a way to stay on top of the block-by-block zoning rules in every community. There's no way for them to tell the difference between what's legal and illegal in a community that, like Santa Monica, bars rentals only when the owner isn't present. Online rental services can and should do more to help cities collect the transient occupancy taxes that hosts should be paying, as Airbnb has agreed to do in three California cities. And they can make it easier for local governments to use their sites to track down units that aren't legal. But if lawmakers try to turn them into arms of the government, people will quickly shift their rentals to other sites, such as Craigslist, that aren't equipped to collect their data. Such a move won't make these rentals any less popular. It will just make them harder to regulate. That from the LA Times from April 30th. So your thoughts still welcome on this, Vince Day. Two aspects of housing. Vacation rental homes, the one aspect we were just talking about. The other part is affordable housing. When, in particular, in the last 15, 20 years, the general increase in wealth in this country for people at or below the middle ranges of income has been to watch the value of your house appreciate. How do we go about providing housing that is affordable to people who don't make a great deal of money? I mean, what was that recent article about the rent in San Francisco? The average annual, the average monthly rent is somewhere north of $4,000 right now, which is just incredible. That not much money to be spent on rent in a month. And I, you know, it's been interesting living in one place for 30 years in the greater Medford area and watching the rents climb from, you know, $400 a month was get to the upper edge of things 30 years ago. And now it's like three times that. What's happened to the rental market in your area? What do you want to do about affordable housing in the region generally? 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. We had the discussion about affordable housing yesterday in the context of the $100 million that Kate Brown, as governor of Oregon, would like to see the legislature allocate for the construction of new housing across the state over the course of the next several years. The figure we got from the Housing Alliance was that this should build somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 units of housing. And I was doing a little quick math there, and I ran it through the calculator again just now. So we're talking per unit a building cost of $25,000 to $34,000, which is not a real steep figure. But how much should those of us who do have housing lay out there for the rest of society to be able to find places that are affordable for housing? That's one question. The other question is this issue that comes up before the legislature now, the inclusionary zoning, which I'm reading from the Ben Bulletin editorial. They would require developers to build a percentage of affordable, by definition, below market price units in any new development. It passed the Oregon House last week. It awaits work in the Senate Committee on Human Services and Early Childhood. This editorial is a little out of date. It did pass the House. There was a markup session just yesterday in the Senate Committee on Human Services and Early Childhood, so this bill still stands a chance. Let's take one final call. Here's Charlie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. So I had an experience. I was applying for senior and subsidized housing, mm-hmm. and I just get Social Security at $752 a month.
Right.
I've got great references and everything, but and great credit history and great landlord history. And I'm a veteran, but I applied to Pacific Retirement Services for their, they have quite a few properties, mm-hmm. and I put down that 31 years ago, the only time I've ever been evicted in my entire life, 31 years ago, I had one eviction. So even though everything else was good, they wouldn't look at me.
All right.
And so they admitted, the manager admitted that if I hadn't put that down, they would have never looked back that far.
Oh, wow. So, boy, being honest, cost you there. It's interesting to hear the things that people go through and trying to find their way into housing. Thanks for the story, Charlie. Appreciate it. Thanks to the rest of you who called and emailed. And thanks for listening to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.